Today on Changing Course, our guest is Melissa Peary, Distinguished Lecturer in the Department of Mathematics here at the University of Tennessee. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I read about you in one of those emails that we get as UT employees, and I was kind of intrigued about what you're doing, especially in terms of flipping classes. What does that mean exactly?
Well, flipping a class means that you are taking some of the instruction that would normally happen in class during a traditional class and moving it outside of the class so that when you're in class, you can work on, you know, some of the harder topics or concepts. You can do group activities. You can actually be in there with the students instead of talking at them.
What inspired you to try this?
Well, several things. Many years ago, we tried a college algebra online program, and it was a dismal failure. And so just in analyzing and thinking about how that went, I made comments to other people in the math department. If we ever do this again, I want it to be more like my large lecture course, because college algebra used to be delivered as one of those large lectures. And I thought, if we can make it more like that, then it might work. So I had that in my head, didn't really know how to make it like that. But along came the Tennessee Teaching and Learning Center, and they start talking about course redesign. I attended the Summer Teaching Institute with them. And about the same time, the Tennessee Higher Education Commission started a big project to test out some different systems that traditionally just do MOOCs, massive open online courses, but we wanted to try out their platforms for some of our on-campus closed courses. So that project provided me with the resources and the support that I needed to be able to produce all the videos and all the materials that we use in my course.
Is flipping a class new? This is something I'm not familiar with.
Flipping a class is definitely not new. Back when I was in college, we were told to read the chapter and come to class the next day and discuss it. So that's moving the content outside of class and then bringing the work into class. The thing that's different about flipping now is the technologies that we have available. We have so many resources for how we deliver that out-of-class content. And so it's sort of had a resurgence, and probably based on not only its success, but the technologies that are available.
When you were approached with this concept of flipping a class, were you skeptical at first?
I was never really skeptical. And the reason was because for years and years, students have said to me, I understood everything you said in class. And then when I got home to work on stuff, I couldn't do it. So flipping was the natural solution for that. They can understand everything I say at home. And then when we get to class, we can work on things, and they have me to help them when they get stuck.
The results speak for themselves, right?
Yes. In spring of 2014 was the first full implementation of the flipped course. I taught two sections of college algebra, one size 70 with the traditional format that I'd been teaching for years, and then the other size 70 with the flipped format. And Math 119 College Algebra has a departmental final exam. So the results on that final exam showed that the students in the flipped course did better than the students in the traditional course. And of course, they both had me as the instructor. So it was pretty much as good of a comparison as we could come up with.
Right. The method of teaching was the variable.
Right.
And the results definitely were noticeably different, correct?
Oh yeah, noticeably different. So we decided to try to expand how we use the flip course. We have a lot of graduate teaching assistants in our department, and traditionally they do grading or other things when they're first year GTAs because they're not ready to be instructors of record yet. Well, I decided to try what I call REACT, Reaching Excellence Through Active Coordinated Teaching. And what that means is instead of me going to the class, one of the TAs goes to the class. So they're still using all of my course materials, and I'm still in charge, so to speak, and I mentor those TAs, and we meet for a seminar twice a week to talk about teaching things and how this class is going to work and what students are going to struggle with on this topic and all of those kinds of things. So we started that full implementation in the fall of 2015. Here are the results. So there are about 700 students in REACT sections. and then there were about 500 students in non-React sections. So the React sections were taught by, I had 9 first-year GTAs and 2 that were not in their first year. The non-React sections, 1 senior lecture, 1 lecture, and 5 GTAs with prior teaching experience. Okay, so the final exam again is how we compare. So for the final exam average, the React classes had a 5.6% increase over the traditional students. The completion rate, and completion means went all the way through the course and actually took the final exam, 7.1% increase over the traditional students. So here are the numbers I like the most. The success rate, and for college algebra, success is defined as C or higher. The success rate, 16.5% increase over traditional students. And that was based on the students who actually completed the course, took the final exam. If we look at that success rate based on the enrollment in the course, 23% increase over the traditional students, which means that not only were the React students more successful, they stuck with it.
Wow. Did anyone come up to you and say, oh, I like this method, or I've never been taught this way, or did you get any kind of that?
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of comments, especially in the SAIS student evaluation or instructor evaluation system. So I've had a lot of comments. A lot of students say, I really like this format because I can take my time with the lecture. I can pause. I can replay. I can watch it over again right before the test if I need to, you know. And I think that's a great benefit because in the large lecture format that we had before, if somebody was sitting next to you coughing, you missed it. If you had to get up and go to the bathroom, you missed it, right? But with the flipped format, all of that lecture content is done outside of class, and they can really take their time with it. And then they have the support network that they need in class to help them actually practice and figure out the stuff.
Well, this kind of rings a bell with me because I was deeply in love with math for many, many years. Especially in high school and junior high, I just loved it. It was my favorite subject. And then something happened to me in college where I became very anxious to the point where I actually avoided taking any math whatsoever. Do you see this happening to other students, or was this just me? And why do you think people keep avoiding math?
Well, math anxiety is very real. I totally agree with that. But I also think part of this issue is because of our society. Every time someone asks me what I do and I say, oh, I'm a math teacher, 9 times out of 10, oh. So just the typical, ugh. And you see this in TV shows. You see it in commercials. You see just this negativity about math or this perception that it's only for the really smart people. It's everywhere in our culture. Other cultures don't have that, and their students don't have this perception that they can't do math. So I think there's a societal impact on that.
Yeah. I think in my case, too, the way it's taught made a huge difference because even within high school, I'd have a teacher that had a certain type of approach, and then I just fell in love with it, and then another teacher had a different approach, maybe just a more, you know, either you get it or you don't, and then you, if you don't, then you get lost and horrible things happen. Now, I spent some time in China, and it's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The students there had none of this sort of math is nerdy thing. Mm-hmm. It was just something like they felt, the average Chinese student that I worked with felt that math is important to all of us and mm-hmm. everybody needs it. Why is advanced math important for college students that maybe don't believe it's useful?
Well, first of all, I would say that only STEM majors take advanced math.
Okay.
So I think what you're really asking about is those quantitative reasoning courses that students in other majors are required to take.
Yes.
So those courses really develop problem-solving skills. That's one of the goals. Well, not only that, to introduce students to math that they didn't realize even existed or to know how it applies in certain contexts, just to introduce them to that, but more importantly, to help them learn how to get through a multi-step problem without giving up, because that's a skill that they will need throughout their careers. And so that's one of the biggest things that the math courses do. They are exercise for your brain, train your brain, and you can get through these things. And, you know, it builds a little confidence, too, once you realize, oh, I can do this.
it's probably no mystery to any of our long-term listeners that I'm well past college age at this point. And I have a lot of friends my age, you know, that will confess to me they have problems with doing basic math, you know, things you need for everyday life, checkbooks and taxes and and how to make sense of what's in the news, for example.
Yeah, number sense. Yeah, a lot of people have trouble with that. Basic percentages even. I think part of that comes from students being under the impression that they're supposed to memorize math. You're not supposed to memorize math. You're supposed to try to understand the concepts and how they connect to each other so that you really have a better understanding of what's going on, not just get the answer.
We talked a little bit a minute ago about student retention. I know this is a really big thing, and it's a very important thing. What are they finding works, and what do you find works, and what doesn't work in terms of student retention?
You know, we have certain courses on campus that seem to be the bottlenecks for students, and college algebra has been one of those. So for me, I feel like anything we can do to improve that success rate in college algebra is a good thing, and that's going to lead towards more retention. We did a study several years ago about the Math 119 students, and it showed that one of the biggest predictors for not graduating was failing college algebra. So we're trying to change that, but also the important component of that is good advising. If a student fails college algebra, they need to think about if they really want to stay in that major that they're trying to get to, or do they want to switch to something else? And so good advising can make a huge difference in terms of retention.
What is the Early Alert system?
Early Alert is a program through the Grades First program, and the Student Success Center sends out emails to all the instructors and asks us to provide comments about students early on in the semester. So we have the opportunity to indicate if the student has an attendance problem, or if it's more of a skills problem, or whatever it is. But we also have the opportunity to say good things about students. So Early Alert can work in a lot of ways. It can boost confidence for those students who are doing well. And for those who are struggling, it gives the Student Success Center a note that, hey, maybe we need to reach out to them and educate them on all the different tutoring options that are available on campus, the study skills techniques, and so on.
A few weeks ago, we had a geography professor in here, and my question to them yielded some fascinating results. I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
What does a math major do other than teach math when they get out? What are some of the other jobs that some of your students have gone on to?
The one I like to tell about the most is my own brother was a math major. He's older than I am. He is currently a vice president for a pharmaceutical company, a large pharmaceutical company. Math majors can do anything. A math major opens a door. But of course, there are a lot of specific areas that math majors go into. Actuaries that work for the insurance companies to determine our rates and all that good stuff. Of course, engineering, any kind of technical field. We have a lot of students that work with the Oak Ridge National Labs. There are plenty of fields. In fact, I would venture to say that most of them, of the people getting graduate degrees in math, are not planning to teach. They are planning to go into industry.
Melissa Peary, thanks so much for joining us today on Changing Course.
Thank you.
For Changing Course, which is a production of WUOT, I'm Todd Steed. For more information on our programming, visit our website, wuot.org.